In India, lockdown has been imposed on 1.3 billion people since March the 24th. As you can imagine, the difficulties involved in locking down that seething nation are vast. Huge numbers of people are in fact on the move, and thousands of migrant labourers are in fact stuck. The trains have stopped running, which in India is pretty much a disaster. Fewer than 400 cases of COVID-19, however, have been confirmed in Delhi, and 5 deaths. Samant Subramanian is a writer and journalist specialising in his native land of India, and he's with me now on Skype. Hi, Samant, how are you?
Good, how are you, Kim?
I'm very well. I'm just looking at those numbers, 400 cases, fewer than 400 cases in Delhi and 5 deaths. Can we trust those? That seems remarkably low.
It's difficult to tell right now. I mean, there's two options here. One of them is that for some reason that we don't know yet, India has been spared the kind of brunt of the disease that other countries have been facing. And that might be a combination of, just good fortune or something about the transmission of the disease or something about the virus. So that's one option. And the other option, of course, is that there's massive underreporting going on, that there's many more hundreds, perhaps thousands of people who are unwell, but who haven't, so who are just sort of toughing it out at home, who are not being tested and confirmed as symptomatic COVID-19 cases. And so we don't know yet. I mean, the truth is we don't know which is the real scenario out there on the ground in India. And it's honestly puzzling to anyone who's observing the spread of COVID-19 across the country.
So how does a lockdown look in India?
Well, pretty much the same as it does anywhere else. I mean, they've shut down or drastically reduced a lot of public transport options. People are allowed to go out only for essential work, you know, to buy groceries. There are some companies or services that are deemed essential. Food delivery, for example, is still ongoing. Everybody else is working from home. So those are the rules. That's the, you know, those are the parameters under which this lockdown is working. But of course, as you pointed out in your introduction, it has also meant that huge numbers of migrant laborers are having to leave the big cities to go back to their villages, to their homes. And very often the absence of public transport, this essentially means taking to the road for hundreds of miles, which is generating these sort of heartrending pictures that are coming out of the country.
It looks like partition all over again, right?
It really does. I mean, it's a disaster to have sort of a public health emergency alongside this kind of entirely avoidable, different kind of tragedy altogether. The fact that all these people have to move with no support and very little money to speak of.
So the government should be doing more to help them?
I think so. I mean, I think it seems to be a case of poor planning. And the lockdown was announced with very little time, I think the lockdown was announced at 8 p.m. and it came into effect at midnight. So that left very little time for the millions of people in India's cities who are so poor that they work for daily wages. They don't necessarily have a place to live unless they can pay the rent at night, which in turn depends upon their wages. They don't have food to eat unless they have wages for the day, and they're paid by the day as well. So the minute that kind of work stops, these people are essentially homeless and they have no food. So the only option left to them is to go back to their home villages, and that was clearly something the government didn't anticipate and provide for at all.
There's been a lot of focus on a gathering near a shrine in Delhi, the Tablighi Jamaat Center. Thousands of devotees went there and left in the first week of March, unknowingly carrying the coronavirus with them. Do you think that that is fueling what we have seen in recent times in India quite explicitly, which is Islamophobia?
Well, I think it's the contrary. I think the fact that Islamophobia exists in India and is promoted by this government is the reason why so many people are focusing on this one gathering of Islamic people. I mean, there have been several other gatherings in churches. There were gatherings of Hindu devotees across the first and second weeks of March. And, you know, nothing has been said or no blame has been pinned on these people for spreading coronavirus in any way. So I think, you know, it's an unfair target to just single out this one gathering of Muslims and to argue that their irresponsibility has sort of spread the disease across the country.
That's interesting because I know you've been observant of Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his BJP. You've written about how he is clearly waving the banner of Hindu nationalism and Hindu supremacy, and anti-Muslim bigotry seems to have been given license during his terms of premiership.
I think that's right. I mean, I think, you know, he's in his second term as prime minister now. He still has another 4 years to go. And clearly, sort of, the government, you know, the political party that Modi belongs to, the BJP, has in its DNA this virulent anti-Islam streak. It is a Hindu nationalist party. It sees India largely as a Hindu country. And you know, those measures have only sort of been getting more and more explicit over the last year. Of course, COVID-19 has made everything else take a back seat. But, you know, even as recently as January, we saw riots in Delhi in which it was quite clear that Muslims were being targeted by mobs of Hindus and being supported by a police force that was endorsed by Prime Minister Modi's government.
Are you fearful then about what might happen using this pandemic as a reason for further bigotry? That's what you're clearly concerned with.
Well, I mean, my primary concern right now is just sort of what the real state of India's public health is. And my fear is that if the disease gets into one of India's several slums, if it gets into the densely packed sort of towns and villages of India, we will see sort of a public health emergency the country has ever never seen before. And I fear that the Indian government is not adequately equipped to handle that and to plan for that.
Our lockdown consists in part of staying 2 meters away from people not in your bubble. In India, that's inconceivable, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, and you know, the people of a certain socioeconomic class who are able to sort of afford to work from home and to have food and groceries delivered to them at home. I mean, they're able to manage this, and that's not, but that's a really small sliver of India's population. And, you know, as you quite rightly point out, it's very difficult to go out onto the streets in India and not sort of bump into 1,000 people all at once. And obviously, people who do not have this option of working from home or of getting groceries delivered at home, they have to go out and get their food. And that automatically involves a certain amount of social, you know, the opposite of social distancing, I'd say social closing. I mean, maybe is that the word for it?
Yeah. As a matter of interest, I'm seeing that Narendra Modi is urging people to light lamps. There seem to be some deliberate turning off of the electricity. Why is that?
Well, I think, I mean, the Prime Minister is, and he has shown himself in the past to be sort of enamored of gestures that bring the entire country together in what seems to be just, I mean, I guess the only thing you can call it is sort of like a giant act of solidarity. Now, that in itself is not a bad thing. I mean, we need all the solidarity we can get at this point. But the whole problem here is that many people are accusing him of only, you know, putting into measures these kind of symbolic gestures and not actually following through with the kind of actual public health steps that are needed to control the pandemic right now. And
I see.
so this
So
all
it's
seems to be public relations more than anything
right.
else.
So lighting lamps is a kind of a symbol.
I think so. I mean, that's how he intends it, certainly. And it doesn't really do anything more than that.
Which area of India would you be most concerned about in terms of the pandemic?
Well, I'd say, I mean, the northern state of Uttar Pradesh is probably sort of my pick for the state that is most dangerous in terms of how little health infrastructure it has, what a huge population it has, and how densely that population is packed into its cities and towns. I think the combination of those two factors would really make it sort of ripe for this disease to spread very quickly.
What kind of climate is it? It's not monsoon at the moment, is it?
No, it's sort of the start of summer, You know, it's already quite, you know, in the mid-30s in parts of India in terms of temperature degrees Celsius. That's quite warm, and it's much warmer to be walking from city to village across hundreds of miles on open road, as a lot of people are doing right now. So it's, you know, these are not pleasant times in any way.
So do you know people there who have been confirmed as suffering from COVID-19?
I don't know. I don't personally know anybody. You know, of course, a lot of the people who I know have been locked down and working from home.
Yeah.
But there are sort of, you know, the cases that come out on a daily basis do come out from across the country and not just from a single location.
No, it's going to be very interesting to see what's happened. And it's going to be interesting to see which way the people go in terms of supporting Mr. Modi or turning against him.
Right. I mean, I think right now there's very little choice that they have. I mean, the police is enforcing this lockdown with a lot of energy. You know, the government has said that they will start phasing it out around April 15th. So in stages, people will be allowed to come out of lockdown and try to resume some semblance of normal life. Now, of course, that is entirely contingent on whether, you know, the next couple of weeks go smoothly, and if there's still a low number of cases at the end of the next 2 weeks. Of course, if the number of cases explodes, then they may have to go back into lockdown all over again.
You say that the police are enforcing the lockdown with a certain amount of energy. I've seen them whacking people with lathes who don't move more quickly. It seems to be quite a lot of energy involved.
Right, and not necessarily the right kind of energy either. I mean, I think they should really sort of be encouraging them to get home rather than, you know, keeping them out of the street long enough to hit them. I think and of course, as I said, a lot of these people don't have any choice. If they're walking back to their houses or to their home villages, this is really sort of the only thing they can do, and they're being persecuted for it. So it really plays into this larger picture of poor planning that I'd mentioned earlier.
Good to talk to you. Thank you, Saman Subramanian, talking about the COVID-19 pandemic as it afflicts India right now.